U.S.-born children moving to Mexico with their deported undocumented parents face many difficulties in their transition. Social isolation and difficulty in school because they don't read and write in Spanish. Ohio State researcher Sarah Gallo has been studying these children. She joins us now via Skype from the Mexican state of Puebla. Thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
I understand you're looking at students in five schools who came to Mexico since 2014. What do you want to examine more closely?
I really wanted to see the classroom realities. What happens when you're transitioning into Mexican schools? And in the state of Puebla, where I'm doing this research, most of those schools are in smaller communities. So they're schools of maybe 400 or 500 students. They, generally speaking, are not as well resourced as many schools are in the United States. And so when I had tried to understand this phenomenon more, I found that there was very little research that looks at the actual transition, that looks at the day-to-day schooling practices and the challenges, as well as the great strategies that people draw upon to think about how to support student schooling when they're transitioning into Mexican schools.
So what are the challenges that you're seeing?
So one of the main challenges, just as a starting point, is access, that the process of enrolling in Mexican schools is a highly bureaucratic process in which you have to show a great deal of documentation about your previous schooling records and schooling records that aren't parallel to the Mexican system.
Now, how many students in all do you have that have come from the U.S.?
That's a great question. I would say, I'm going to say approximately 100. Simply because in some of the schools, so for example, one school I'm in has about 450 students. I know 32 of them were born in the U.S.
What are they saying about the issues that they're experiencing?
One of the main issues is that there is no parallel to English as a second language within Mexican schools. So that means if you come and you don't know academic Spanish, there's no additional teacher or any teacher training to say, when you have a child who comes into this classroom, how do you help them learn academic Spanish to read and write in Spanish? It's more of a sink and swim type of situation. And so if you don't have those resources, you have to figure them out, which is very challenging.
And another challenge these students face is social isolation.
This doesn't happen with everyone. It varies tremendously. But these are small towns. It's also a place that is a federal curriculum that is very nationalistic in nature. And so oftentimes kids who come in with different experiences, different educational resources, knowing more English than Spanish, they don't fit in. And oftentimes they can experience forms of bullying and social isolation within their school as well.
Are some of these students falling behind then in grades?
It is very common. So Victor Zuniga and Ted Hammond have done research more on a national level within Mexico, looking at through surveys, how many kids tend to repeat a year if they have come from U.S. schooling. And I think they found it's 3 or 4 times more likely. Many of the kids I've interviewed, spoken with, as an ethnographer, I spend one day a week in schools with each of these different students, have repeated a grade. The students I'm working with now are so new in the transition that many of them are in their first school year. We're going to see what happens at the end of the year.
Do some of them talk about missing the U.S. and not understanding why they had to leave?
Yes. I mean, I think always the question of understanding immigration policies, practices, the realities of in all their families, there are some people who have U.S. documentation to go back and forth to reside in the U.S. and some people who don't. Kids are very savvy. This is no longer the day and age where kids have no idea about documentation status because our immigration practices and media make it necessary that they understand them to protect themselves, to protect their families. And so there are certainly things that they miss about the U.S. There are also things that they enjoy about being in Mexico, but it's never, I don't think about it as this one-time transition, that even for kids I know who have been here for 7 years, there's an eye towards maybe they'll be returning to the U.S. for schooling or work in the future.
I've been talking with Ohio State researcher Sarah Gallo about her study of U.S.-born children now living in Mexico. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much.